Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Marty. I'm a faithful believer in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and it's my honor and privilege to get to be here this morning. Today's message is about the protagonist. The creator steps into the story, and today's title is He Will Come. Today we're starting a new series on Advent for the next 4 weeks. You'll hear about the protagonist. If you're like me, you had to look that one up. It says, what is a protagonist? It is the main character in a story. And in this story, the author, God, becomes the protagonist and plays the leading role, which is Jesus. As Paul stated in Galatians, He comes at just the right time, and He will come. Today's message was inspired from a message I heard some time ago from Chuck Swindoll as I was studying the book of John. So I give him credit for the 5 points that you'll hear today. Today, we're going to look at a man who was sent from God. His name was John. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you've allowed us to come to your house to hear what you have to say today. We acknowledge your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for that. Just calm our minds and let us hear what your word has to say to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Yes, today we're going to look at a man who was sent from God. His name was John. According to Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25, that is Dr. Luke, because he was a doctor, we're told, and he wrote from a humanitarian point of view. John's parents were Zechariah and Elizabeth. He tells us that they were well advanced in years, beyond the childbearing age. God blessed them and broke that shame of barrenness. Also, we discovered in Luke 1:15, we see that John was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. I think he was the only one that was ever filled with the Holy Spirit while being in his mother's womb. Also, Luke reveals to us that John grew up in the desert. Mark and Matthew tell us that in their gospel, he wore a leather belt and ate a steady diet of locusts and wild honey. That's not a new fad. That's just what he ate at the time. Matthew 3 goes on to tell us that he offered a fire and brimstone call to repentance and prepare the way for the one who takes away the sins of the world. The people confessed their sins and were baptized by him in the Jordan. At one point, this fiery preacher called the Pharisees and Sadducees, "You brood of vipers." Now that's not a good way to make friends. So today, we're going to take a look at 5 traits that this John the Baptist preacher has for us. If you would, open your Bibles and read with me in John chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. And then we'll read 19 through 34. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the This was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely. "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He replied, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in these words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am a voice, a one calling in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why do you then baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" Verse 26, "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one who you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, whose straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now let's look at verse 29. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God,' when I meant when I said, 'A man comes after me who has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God.'" On the back of your bulletin, you'll see 5 traits that we're going to look at today. Number 1, we see he was human, but not ordinary. Verse 1:6, "There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John." As we saw earlier in my reading, he wore funny-looking clothes. He ate wild things and grew up in the scrub, that is the desert, much like the bush of the African jungle. In my mind, John the Baptist looks a lot like a thinner version of the TV character, the big old guy with big bushy beard. If you're not, look him up on YouTube. We could put John in this room here and he would stick out like a sore thumb. Yes, he was human, but he wasn't ordinary. And number 2, he was a lamp, but he was not the light. Verse 7, "He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe." Not some men, but all men. John was not the light. He was simply a witness. That's what verse 8 tells us. Why did he come? But one purpose. He was to be a witness and a lamp. You know, some of us have beautiful lamps, and they serve a purpose. And I've got one this morning I was going to share with you. As you can see, it is a beautiful lamp. It's got a little butterfly on it. It's got a little sun, and it's very beautiful. But the lamp itself serves no purpose other than beauty, unless you put a bulb in it. When you put a bulb in it, it comes on and it shines. Without the bulb, it doesn't shine. With that, you must have a bulb. And that bulb looks like this. Not the bulb I'm speaking of is Christ. You must have Christ in you to make your lamp work. Otherwise, it serves no purpose. John says, "I am not the light, just the lamp. Look to Jesus for the light. He is the light of the world." Verse 9 tells us, Jesus is the true light that gives light to every man. Not some man, but to every man. Number 3, he was a voice, but not the word. 19 through 23. And this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He immediately confessed, "I am not the Christ." Then they asked him, that is, the priest and Levite said, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" And he replied, "No." The prophet they were referring to was the one out of Deuteronomy 18:15 of the coming of our Messiah. And he replies, no. Then almost sarcastically they say, who are you? Tell us, we need to know. And I love what he says. Verse 23, he says, I am a voice of the one calling in the desert. Make straight for the way of the Lord. We ask ourselves, why did the Lord need to have his way made straight? Well, in those days, when a monarch would come to town or someone of importance would come in, they didn't have streets and highways like we had. They had just trails. And on these trails, there'd be big potholes or there'd be limbs laid on them, much like if you go hiking in the forest. So you had these people who would come before you, clean off the pathways, and they would stack things along the side. And then you could stand upon those and see who the monarch was coming. That's where this make way for the Lord came from. And then he says, I am a voice calling in the desert. What is a voice? A voice is a vehicle. It is a forerunner. You didn't get it. That's my joke. When I hear the word voice, I think back to many years ago when I first became a Christian. How many of you remember Dr. J. Vernon McGee through the radio or through the Bible that came on the radio? He had a voice. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you would just please open your Bibles. That is a voice you'll never forget. At least I'll never forget it. But he had a voice, but he was not the Word. A voice can be stopped at any time, but God's Word goes on and on. We must never, and I repeat never, follow a voice or follow a flashy lamp. We're to keep our minds on the Word of God and our eyes on the light of the world. Yes, he was a voice, but not the Word. He was a lamp, but he was not the light. And he was human, but he was not ordinary. And number four, he was useful, but not indispensable. Verse 24 through 28. I love it when you introduce the Pharisees. They're the ones that stir things up. Some Pharisees came along, just see them in their little mockery. And why do you baptize? I love John's reply in verse 26. I baptize with water, but there is one you do not know. Is there one you do not know? He goes on to say, but there is one you do not know who comes after me. The straps of the sandals I am not worthy to untie. John was all about repentance and baptizing. Yes, he was useful. And last, number five, he was a witness, but not an object of worship. Let's read 29 through 31. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed. I like what John says. I remember it from when I first became a Christian. The only Bible I had was a little old New King James Testament, and it read, this takes away the sin of the world. That's how I remembered it. In this verse, John is saying, look, he is the one we should be worshiping, not me. Turn your eyes off of me and look to Christ. John was a witness. Ask yourself, what is a witness? It is one who testifies about what you've seen or what you've heard. What did John witness? In verse 32 through 34, let's see what he witnessed. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, "The man whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen him and testified that this is the Son of God." John witnessed Jesus' baptism. Why did he witness it? Because he was the one doing the baptizing. And he tells us that he has seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Have you met the Son? I met him some time ago. I was born into a family that was not a Christian. My mother and dad were both alcoholics most of their adult lives. I am one of six children. Mom had five, and my dad had one more by his second wife. My mom and dad divorced before I was born. She remarried three times before I became a teenager. I was the only one of the six children to graduate from high school. I contribute that to starting to work at an early age, age 13. I worked all through high school and learned that if I worked hard and set goals, I could go places in this world. After graduation, I went to trade school and became an electrician / heat and cooling apprentice. By this point in my life, I had not even considered God or even heard much about God. Did I say we was not raised in a Christian home? At age 20, on August the 14th, 1984, my world changed. I made the best decision of my life. That was to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I changed my family. I was so scared of what my family would say by me becoming a Christian that I waited 2 full weeks before I ever told them. And I was baptized a little over a month and a half later on September 30th, 1984. And to my surprise, my entire family showed up to see the old me washed away. So yes, I know Christ, and I have been washed in the blood. As we have seen in the material that we just read about John the Baptist, there were 5 traits. He was a witness. He was useful. He was a voice. He was a lamp. And he was human. I'm going to leave you with 5 questions. Are you a new human? Have you turned your life over to Christ? If so, are you a lamp for him? Are you a voice that speaks of Christ? Are you letting God use you in his kingdom? Today is a good day to start. Just ask. And as the title of my message is, he will come. He will dwell within your heart. Father, I thank you for this day once again. I thank you for your word. I thank you how true it is. And most of all, I thank you for salvation. I thank you that when I come to know you back in 1984, that radically changed my world. And I pray today that there's someone out here that can honestly say that you have changed their world radically. Once again, Father, I thank you for all you do in our lives. In your name I pray. Amen.
For your closing hymn today, you have an insert in your worship bulletin. I have decided to follow Jesus. As you're able, let's stand as we sing our closing hymn together.
In Jesus' name, may each one of you have a blessed day and just give Him thanks and give Him thanks for your salvation.